The Lord be with you. Interesting to see how it works under here for a minute, just to see how that sounds. Good to have you with us today. Today we observe the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul. You should easily be able to tell them apart on your bulletin cover. This is your pop quiz. One of them is known for a sword. One of them is known for keys. The answer comes later. I'm not going to give it away now. Seminary class next week. It's the 6th to the 10th. And I kind of need one more bed. I'm going to be asking around for some folks. So I'm playing a little bit of Tetris over the next couple of days to see how that goes. So if you are willing to host someone or have a couple of beds, let me know. Again, masky time. Like I said before, if you come in without one on, I'm assuming that you have a medical condition that precludes you from wearing one. We're not going to tackle you and make you put one on. But again, we've been called to love our neighbors. And this is one of the ways that we do that. So, Bible class Tuesday night, Wine and the Word, once more this coming Tuesday. Then we're going to take a little bit of a break, and we're looking at ways that we can come back together. Honestly, it's a little bit taxing to try and to do it over Zoom like that. I work better with people in front of me so we can react together. So we're looking at a way that we can actually come together in a way to do that. Thank you to those of you who came out to the Parsonage yesterday and knocked out in an hour and a half what would have taken, you know, the three of us, I don't know, another 6 months or so to do. We appreciate that greatly. Phase one of kind of a redesign of the landscaping out front. I hope that y'all will all get to enjoy that as it's done. Congregational meeting, July 12, 7:12, immediately following the service. We will just stay in here, spread out as we are. We'll have the wireless mics for questions and things like that. But the main item on the agenda for that is the deaconess position and the financial realities that have led us to the point of releasing that position. And then I believe we may as well be offering an amended budget at the same time. So that is July 12. Other than that, the service is before you. We follow that. It's not working. It's gonna come off in a minute. Let's sing. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we observe the festival of St. Peter and St. Paul, apostles, which is officially set for tomorrow, June 29. It's a good thing to remember the saints. Our own Augsburg Confession states that Lutherans teach that the saints are to be remembered, so that we may strengthen our faith when we see how they experienced grace and how they were helped by faith. Moreover, it is taught that each person, according to his or her calling, should take the saints' good works as an example. Saint Peter, brash, bold, speak first, think later. Peter witnessed the transfiguration. He told Jesus that he didn't have to suffer. He denies Jesus three times in only a few hours and was one of the first to the empty tomb on Easter. He stood his ground in the temple courtyard against the authorities. He preached to thousands on the day of Pentecost. And he convinced the Jerusalem council that the Gentiles did not need to be circumcised nor follow the law of Moses to become Christians. Saint Peter roamed over what is now Israel and Lebanon and Turkey, preaching the gospel to all who would hear him, eventually winding up in Rome. And it was in Rome, according to church tradition, that Peter was martyred during Nero's reign. St. Paul had a bit of a different path. A Pharisee who approved of Stephen's stoning, he went all Mandalorian to arrest Christians wherever they might be. And so it was on one of those bounty hunting missions that Saul is dramatically converted. He's questioned by the ascended Jesus as to why he is persecuting the church. So he goes to Damascus to be healed of his blindness that was a result of Christ's brilliant appearance to him. And he starts this long period of study of God's word that led him to the understanding that it was the Christ who appeared to him, the Messiah. Soon after, he embarks on his first missionary journey, and he promptly runs into trouble. On each of Paul's three missionary journeys, he was either chased out of town, stoned, or thrown in jail. Sometimes he's only imprisoned for a few days, other times for over a year. None of this, though, dampened his fervor for telling others about Jesus. He continued, even in the face of bodily harm and death. Even in prison, he continues to preach the gospel, and whole households came to faith through the power of God's word. Eventually, he appeals one of the charges against him to Caesar, and he's taken to Rome. And during his time there, he's caught up in the same persecution that brought about Peter's death. And St. Paul was beheaded as a leader of this religion that denied the deity of the emperor. So neither of these two men, or the thousands who died around the same time, or the millions who have been killed since, sought out martyrdom, dying for the faith. Today, Peter and Paul would be called fanatics, extremists. But they were just faithful servants, doing what God the Father had called them to do. And that's what sets martyrs, Peter and Paul in particular, apart from the extremists and the fanatics of today. They didn't seek out the ends of their lives, but they accepted it as the necessary result of their work in God's kingdom. So look at the examples of Peter and Paul. Both of them were successful. Peter was a fisherman with a decent business. Saul was an accomplished leather worker and a Pharisee. And by definition, Pharisees were pretty well off to start with. They worked only in order to support their study habits. But what happened to them? Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." They left everything behind for Jesus. They denied themselves to follow him. To deny one's self is to act in a completely selfless manner. And that isn't the self-denial in the sense of giving up red meat or ice cream during Lent or giving up trips to the river or the lake because of social distancing, but rather true conversion. It is seeing all of the sin and all of the death and all of the filth in your lives and being horrified by it and seeking true rescue in Christ Jesus alone. St. Paul confessed it in his letter to the Galatians. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, neither of them said that the Christian life was going to be easy. Peter had his own problems. He cut off Malchus's ear in the garden. He denies Jesus publicly. He nearly drowns in the Sea of Galilee. Paul cries out to God again and again and again to have the thorn in his flesh removed. He regrets that all of the evil he didn't want to do is what he did, and the good that he didn't do that he wanted to. The world was a huge temptation for them because they saw how the people around them lived. They saw people with everything, with an easy life. They knew people who had it all. And it was just as tempting for Peter and for Paul as it is for you and for me to get wrapped up in wanting all of the stuff that the world and Satan have to offer. But Jesus tells you something else. Whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Only a fool trades eternal life for the fame and the comfort of this world. But it happens every day. And that's what Jesus warns against. If your possessions define who you are, then you aren't worshiping the Creator who made you, but rather the creation, the things of this world. And maybe that's why some have such a hard time giving to the church. I mean, it's fine to talk about faith, and it's fine to talk about Jesus and love, but to put it into practice, well, that's just a little bit more trust than I'm willing to have. So instead, I'm stingy with my time and my abilities and my dollars. But St. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. You are no longer who you were before your baptism. Something fundamental has changed. You don't live for yourselves any longer. You live for Christ Jesus. You are his now. He shared his death with you, and he shared his resurrection with you too. And that is why what St. Paul says gives you this encouragement for every day. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? He expects you to say, well, of course we know we're God's temple. St. Paul wants his hearers to realize that they are the temple of the living God. Just as you are the temples of the living God in Nevada County. He wanted them, and he wants you to see not only the responsibility that Christians have toward each other, but he also reminds them that they live as the redeemed children of God. And as God's children, the world doesn't revolve around them or around you either. And then he calls you back to a proper understanding of your lives. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. You should divorce yourselves from the world's wisdom when it comes to looking at eternity. The self-delusion and the complacency of the world around you puts it in serious spiritual danger. And you too, if you follow it. And that's the example of St. Peter and St. Paul for you today. They felt the pull of the world. They knew what sin was. They knew what it was like to do something and immediately turn around and say, why did I do that? They knew the sin of the world. They knew the effect that it has on each and every one of you. But they knew something else too. They knew that all of those sins and all of those urges and all of those curses and all of those actions are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Because as highly as we want to hold them, St. Peter and St. Paul were sinners, just like you. That's something that's easy to forget. That they were real living people in a real living world, just like you. And they were forgiven, just like you. So the next time that you get off track and the next time you plunge into sin, remember. Remember what Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, did for you. That he sacrificed his life so that you would not die forever. Remember that you are forgiven, that this world will not last forever. Remember Saints Peter and Paul. Remember that they struggle just like you do. They paid the ultimate price for their faith, a price that you will most likely not have to pay. And also remember that God the Father has given you the gift of faith, the gift of life everlasting, the gift of a word that can bring dry, dead bones to life. The example of the saints is one of living under the cross, where every day is a day of service, because Christ lived in them just as he lives in you. They were God's temple, and they lived like they believed it. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Of course you know that. So live like you believe it. Rejoice that you are God's temple, recreated by him for wonderful things. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.